This is the NedGroup Investments podcast, where we explore a variety of views and insights that investors care about. Welcome to another NedGroup Investments podcast. I'm your host, Dumisha Greta, and today we are welcoming Executive Head of NedGroup Investments, Nick Andrew, as our very first guest for the year. Welcome back, Nick.
Thanks, Tumi. It's great to be here.
Nick, it's January, and it feels like everyone is talking about the outlook for the year ahead, but I understand that you don't really do outlooks. Why is this?
Well, Tumi, as Lao Tzu said, those who have knowledge don't predict. Those who predict don't have knowledge. So I believe although it's very interesting and appealing, it's also extremely difficult to predict with any level of accuracy what is going to transpire in the year ahead, because there are just so many unknowns and variables. History shows that even the so-called experts tend to get it wrong most of the time. And in fact, you just need to go back to January last year, 12 months ago, to see how mismatched some of the predictions were to how things actually turned out in 2023.
Exactly. Now, I know you've referenced the work of US-based Charlie Bilello, who has done some really interesting work on this topic. His year-end note was, of course, quite detailed and contains data and charts that we can't show here. But for anyone who's keen on the detail, we will link the summary in the podcast notes. Let's use this article as a jumping off point and take a look at what was being forecast in some of the outlooks at the outset of 2023.
Sure, Tumi, and I really like Charlie's work and encourage people to look at it. But 2023 was a year of surprise, and it's fascinating to see how the sentiment changed from January to December. At the start of the year, there was this prevailing wall of worry due to the previous year's market downturn. Predictions of a recession were widespread, in fact, almost unanimous amongst the experts, fueled by concern of rampant inflation, rising interest rates, and geopolitical tensions like the war in Ukraine. It was so bad that various consumer and retail sentiment scores, so these are things that they measure, were the most persistently negative that they had been in more than 50 years. And for the first time in decades, and certainly the first time that I can remember, Wall Street strategist predicted a down year for stocks.
But as we've learned, predictions are notoriously difficult to get right, and this was to be no exception. So how did the year actually unfold?
Well, Tumi, despite all the early concerns, the market actually started really strongly in January and February, with a general sense that the bad news was already priced in. However, suddenly the markets were hit by an unexpected banking crisis. And you'll remember the failure of Silicon Valley and Signature Bank, which were both very material. And this seriously disrupted and reversed the first quarter rally. The Fed then intervened, guaranteeing deposits and stabilizing the situation.
It's not surprising to see the Fed step in to manage, you know, situations like this. But in 2023, the Fed's reaction was yet another surprise, right?
Exactly. In a surprising turn, unlike previous crises, the Fed actually continued to tighten interest rates throughout the year, with a total increase of over 500 basis points over the past 2 years. This is the largest over any two-year period since 1979-1980. The U.S. debt at the same time soared to $34 trillion, a 55% increase in 5 years. And despite this, and the almost unanimous predictions for a recession, the U.S. economy continued to expand, driven by a very strong labor growth. That strong labor growth was evidenced by jobs growth growing each month for 36 consecutive months. So by the end of the year, the U.S. unemployment rate had been below 4% for 23 months, the longest streak since the late 1960s.
Oh, that is quite a twist in the usual playbook. So in a nutshell, despite general expectations of a recession and huge shocks like, you know, the massive banking failures, negative corporate earnings growth, and the fastest tightening in 50 years, not to mention the largest tightening by the U.S. Fed in history, the economy remained robust, and in fact, by the end of the year, some of the largest banking failures in history seemed to be all but forgotten, and the market was up. What do you make of that?
Well, I just think it's a really good example of how dangerous predictions can be. Predictions are statements or assertions about the future event, and they're great to tell a story, and they're very appealing to do. But it's so crucial to understand that they are not fact, and that it can be extremely risky to place too much confidence, particularly on economic forecasts. The other thing that 2023 illustrated beautifully is the very large importance of starting valuations.
Absolutely. The magnitude of the market movement always seem to grab the headlines. But as an investor, the really important thing that affects where you end up is the point at which you started, right?
That's right. And, a nice example when I was looking over the two-year period was a stock we all know, and which is an extreme example of this, is Tesla. So if you bought Tesla at the beginning of the year on 1 Jan 2023, your return for the year would have been a stellar over 100% because it had been marked down so much at that point in time. However, if instead you had bought it 1 year earlier, on the 1st of Jan 2022, and held it there for the two-year period, you would have in fact lost almost a third of your money over that two-year period. And I think that's just a real example of the importance of starting valuations.
Nick, let's take a look at the story of the markets in 2023. What were some of the big events there?
Well, the biggest and most exciting story that really grabbed the headlines must be the story of AI or artificial intelligence. Of course, this wasn't a surprise because it had been very dominant mention in the Outlook pieces that were published in Jan 2023. However, even though it was already a bit of a buzzword, some of the knock-on effects of the AI phenomena were even bigger than expected and faster moving. With ChatGPT becoming the fastest product to reach 100 million users, many other players reaped the rewards. For example, NVIDIA, a manufacturer of the powerful chips required to power these enormous large language models, was ideally positioned to benefit from this experience unprecedented growth. NVIDIA grew its quarterly net income from around $1 billion in 2021 to over $9 billion in 2023, with profit margins of over 50%, and ended the year as a member of the exclusive $1 trillion club in terms of market capitalization. The widespread gains in the tech space meant that the Magnificent Seven, a group of large tech stocks, dominate the market, making up almost 30% of the S&P 500 by the end of the year. This is the most concentrated the market has ever been.
Wow, and these seven companies are so huge that they have a combined market cap that is larger than the whole of the UK, China and France combined. It seems unprecedented.
It is, but the question now, of course, is how much of this is priced in, as the market has placed really lofty valuations on this group of companies.
Okay, so how do these dynamics affect the markets? I mean, what were there any surprises there?
Look, yeah, there were plenty of surprises here too. Corporate earnings surpassed expectations, inflation came under control, and then the market rallied very strongly in November, December, with the S&P 500 ending up the year 26%. Interestingly, the performance of the sectors and styles was almost a polar opposite of what we experienced in 2022. Growth stocks outperformed value stocks by 31%, compared to 2022, where they had underperformed by 22%. While energy, utility, and consumer staples had been the top performing sectors in 2022, they finished at the bottom of the pile in 2023. Meanwhile, tech, communication services, and consumer discretionary were the top performers in 2023, and the previous year, they had been the worst. In another example of surprise and where predictions were completely wrong, the S&P 500 ended the year just under 4,800, beating every single of the Wall Street, and there are about 20 of them, their price targets by a massive margin. the most optimistic target any of them had was 4,500. So clearly surprised the whole industry.
So by the end of December, the sentiment was completely different from January, seemingly because prices had risen so much.
Exactly. And this is both common and counterintuitive. Investors almost always feel more positive when prices are rising, even though it by definition lowers their potential for prospective returns.
Oh, thank you so much, Nick. I see why you stay away from outlooks for the year ahead. So we know it's dangerous to take the crystal ball approach, but what should one do to be prepared for the challenges and opportunities that lie ahead?
I believe the best thing you can do is to focus on what we can control. As an investor, it means making sure you have very clear goals, that you have a sensible asset allocation to meet those goals, and that you diversify your assets, and that you have taken careful consideration of things like costs and taxes. And one of the often most forgotten but most important things that is in your control is to nurture the emotional fortitude to stick to your plan through the inevitable volatility and surprises so that you're able to reap the enormous benefits of compounding.
Always, as you know, fantastic advice, Nick, and something I'm sure we will talk about again this year, although we know that we may be surprised. Thanks again for today, and again, we'll see you next time. Of course, that was Nick Andrew. He is the executive head at Net Group Investments.
Thanks, Jimmy.
This podcast is for marketing information only. The information contained in the podcast or video was for information purposes and does not constitute advice, recommendation, or an offer or solicitation to purchase or sell any funds or strategies to any person in any jurisdiction in which the offer, recommendation, or solicitation to purchase would be unlawful.